I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Good to have you here today. The 116th Congress of the United States is now in session. It's the most diverse Congress ever, and we'll hear why that really matters to people all across the country today. That's coming up, but we're going to begin with this other historic moment.
The Honorable Nancy Pelosi of the state of California, having received a majority of the votes cast, is duly elected Speaker of the House of Representatives for the 116th Congress.
Pelosi and the Democrats are now in control of the House of Representatives for the first time since 2012. They've promised tighter oversight of the Trump administration, or as Donald Trump has come to call it, presidential harassment. But oversight is what Congress is supposed to do, according to that thing called the Constitution. So practically, what can the new House do? We'll use the Defense Department as an example. Michelle Flournoy was Undersecretary of Defense under President Obama.
I think having Congress exercise oversight of defense, of foreign policy, of how we use the military, how we invest in the military is really, really important. It's very important that Congress hold the executive branch accountable for the interests of the American people. Typically, what happens is they hold hearings. For example, if there's concern about a particular operation like Yemen or Syria or Afghanistan, they might hold hearings and call both civilian and military representatives to testify. But they can also use the power of the purse in terms of attaching language to the budget to try to influence how the department's spending money, both operationally and in terms of investment.
I mean, practically speaking, it's checks and balances, just like we learned about in social
studies.
How tough can it be, though, even though it's healthy?
Well, it can be very tough in that they can pass legislation that can block an administration from doing something that it wants to do, for example, by cutting off money or by imposing a hold on an action until certain conditions are met. So it can be difficult. I think in this current environment, very, very important for them to the new Congress to focus on how the U.S. military is being used. I know that there's plans to give particular scrutiny to our involvement in support of the coalition effort in Yemen. With President Trump's announcements of a hasty and sort of seemingly impulsive withdrawal from Syria, you can expect hearings and probes on that. And then now, certainly on Afghanistan, given that he's talking about cutting the troops in half, even while we're trying to negotiate peace with the Taliban, you know, the question of what's the strategy, I think that's a legitimate question for Congress to ask.
So those are some of the issues for Congress in dealing with Syria and Afghanistan. You served in the Defense Department, so let's stay on that tip, because there are tons of other things that they could be asking questions about: Russia, North Korea, China and the South China Sea. What questions do you want to see asked by the new Congress when it comes to those issues?
Well, I think there's actually a fair amount of bipartisan support for the outlines of the defense strategy as written, meaning what General Mattis, Secretary Mattis, articulated before he left, which is we're entering a new period of strategic competition, particularly with China, but also Russia. And the U.S. military needs to make some investments to be prepared to deter and, if necessary, fight and win in the future. So I think Congress's role is to really check the department. How are you going to transform the force to reduce the priority given to things like counterinsurgency and stability operations and put more priority on deterring and, if necessary, dealing with a potential regional peer like China? That requires very big shifts in how we're spending defense dollars. And so Congress, I think, rightly should pull the string on those details.
Just as an aside, Michelle, Trump said yesterday he basically fired Jim Mattis. I know you've got a pretty good working relationship with General Mattis. He even asked you to serve as his deputy, an invitation you declined. What is Jim Mattis thinking right now?
I haven't talked to him about that since that comment was made. But, you know, this is a classic case of the president rewriting the facts. The fact is that Jim Mattis resigned on principle because he felt he could not find alignment with the president and his decisions, particularly on Syria and Afghanistan, but also on the treatment of allies and the U.S. role in the world and so forth. Jim Mattis resigned. That's the fact. Trump can try to re-spin this as a firing, but that's not what happened here.
Do you know what Mattis is doing next?
I don't. I hope he's probably going to take a very long nap. he deserves some rest and relaxation after such a challenging 2 years.
Michelle Flournoy was Undersecretary of Defense under President Obama. Good to have you with us. Thank you.
Thanks so much.